My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus having victory over being abusive and learning how to have empathy towards others.
Daniel.
My face might look new to a lot of you, but I can assure you that I'm an old timer. I walked through the doors December 2003 in Celebrate Recovery. Yeah, so last couple of years with COVID, I've been on Zoom with my small group. Give it up, small group. Yeah, so I'm back. I'm back now. You know, when I walked through those doors in December 2003, I was not ready for recovery. I was totally embarrassed about getting caught with pornography on my computer and having to confess that to my wife, to my children, to another family at church. I was just so embarrassed that I had been found out. And I just really did not want to be in any type of group setting at all. Not ready for recovery. Let me just give you some backstory, just to give you some context here. I've been married since 1982, so that makes our 40th wedding anniversary coming up in July. And men, God created calendars on your devices to remind you. So you just put that date on there, annual, and it shows up. Yeah. Yeah. So without my computer, I'd be in a world of hurt there. God has blessed us with six children, two of which are believers. And sadly, 22 years ago today, May 25th, we had a child born and die the same day. Since 1989, I have been sober, thank God. I have assaulted a teenage son. My son has assaulted me back. In 2004, I became freelance, but it wasn't my choice. It was my bad behavior. I got kicked out of my house with a restraining order. I went to a couple of step studies now. I got invited back into my house in 2006. I like to cycle to keep fit. In 2013, I weighed 205 pounds, and today I'm 155. So if you want to go for a bike ride, hit me up. You may ride an e-bike, but you better be fully charged. I like e-bikes, but not so much when they pass me. I have unkind words, I think. So our whole lesson tonight is on ready. And, you know, when I just think of the word ready, I just apply it to my life. It's like when the weekend comes and it's Friday night, I am ready for the weekend. I'm ready to stop working and to go out on bike rides with my buddies and be with friends and just let loose a little bit. So that's a great feeling, to be ready for something that you enjoy doing. You get a special feeling when you start a new job and you're all ready to make that great first impression at the new job, new people, new challenges. It's going to be great. How about getting a paycheck? It's a great feeling to get a paycheck. I'm ready to receive paychecks. As a freelancer, I have to make my own paycheck. Getting married, I can remember counting down the number of days until my wedding day. That was a big thing. Waiting for vacation to start, you know. People make vacation plans and we post them on Facebook and we wish we were all there and we're just ready to go out and do something pleasant. Some people are getting close to retirement and they're looking forward to that and a new chapter in their life. They're ready. They're anticipating something's going to be different. I'm ready for the Minnesota Vikings to win a Super Bowl. For those of you that are sports fans, the Vikings are an NFL team that have gone to the Super Bowl 4 times and came in second. Only Denver has equaled that score, and then on the 5th try, Denver got in. So I'm ready for the Vikings to win, and I will be ready to cheer them on when that does happen. And since everybody's here tonight, maybe you can relate to being ready for your life to get together. Wouldn't that be nice for your life to be together? So we've got a principle tonight, and we've got a step. Can we put those up on the overhead and read those together? Let's read this. Voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life, and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Matthew 5:6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. James 4:10. I like reading about hope in those scripture verses. So you should have a handout in front of you, and CR has acrostics. And so the name of the lesson is Ready, R-E-A-D-Y, and that's going to be the acrostic. So you get extra points for filling it out, and so 10 points for filling it out and 25 points for correct answers. And if you're not sure, bring it to me and I'll score it with a red pen. Because I just kind of like getting everything in its place. So our first acrostic is R for release control. Release control. If you're like me, my best thinking got me into recovery. You know, my denial that pornography was sin and that acting out with myself was damaging to my marriage relationship, my parenting, my spiritual relationship. You know, my wedding vow said to cherish my wife and disavow all others. And when you're looking at pornography, you're cherishing other women. So it's clearly sin and has to stop. But my control of hiding my sin was not making me a pure person. So recovery had to reset me and I had to release control in my life. So there's a Bible verse, Psalm 143:10. Let's read that one together. Help me to do your will, for you are my God. Lead me in good paths, for your spirit is good. Psalm 143:10. So what do we get from that scripture verse, from that truth? Well, number one, there is a God. The God is our higher power in recovery. You know what? And God's got a plan for me, and God's got a plan for you. And if He's got a plan, I have to ask Him about it. And for me to ask Him, I have to have a relationship with Him. So it's a spiritual journey that we're on to change our thinking and to change our behavior and the words that come out of our mouth and how we treat other people. So if I'm in a relationship with God and I'm asking Him to lead me along, I'm giving up control of my life and giving the control over to Him. Just because you're here tonight at CR, you're on a good path. You're starting to rewire your brain. You're starting to rewire your habits. You're taking some of the old habits in your life and you're replacing them with something productive, something useful. So this is a good place. Even if you don't feel like you're getting it, or not, keep coming back. Okay, the next fill-in, E, easy does it. So in recovery, we talk a lot about progress, not perfection. Making progress against your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. This recovery is really not for perfect people. It's for people that know we are broken. So if you know you're broken, this is a perfect place for you to be. So lighten up a little bit on yourself and don't be so judgmental in looking at your progress and trying to compare your progress in recovery versus somebody else's progress. Everybody's journey is different. So be easy on yourself. You know, this whole thing of progress, not perfection, we've got a chip ceremony tonight. We're handing out coins for people with 1 year or more sobriety or just recovery time. And in small group, you can just make a statement to say, hey, I'm going to start a new life issue that I want to give control over to God in. And that's a blue chip. So whether you're in small group and you're getting a blue chip or you're getting 1 month coins, you know, do that. It'll happen. I've been here for a while and I've seen so many people get better. I keep coming back because I get inspired every week that I come here. I'm inspired by other people. I can see the progress in other people more than I can see it myself. So if I stop coming, I stop seeing hope. So you're hope and I'm looking at it. There's a Bible verse for the easy does it, Psalm 37:5. Let's read this one together. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you do it, and he will. Psalm 37:5. You know, there's an antidote for every character defect you have. The Bible has an antidote for everything. So for pornography, the antidote is purity. So I ask myself, will this image or movie that I look at or place before me, will that honor God or will that dishonor God? So that's the kind of question I ask myself every day when I watch Netflix or BritBox or Discovery Plus. For sarcasm, the antidote is giving a compliment. You know, when I got into recovery, I didn't think sarcasm was a sin. But then I found out when I put somebody else down to make me look superior and to make them look weak or foolish or off base, that's sinful, that's prideful, that's judgmental. And the antidote is finding somebody doing something right and saying, job well done, complimenting somebody instead of being critical of somebody. Without recovery, I never would have figured that out. For abuse, the antidote is the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto yourself. For bitterness, the antidote is forgiveness. Moving on to the next fill in the blank, A is accept the change. Accept the change. So you're going to start to see change in your behavior. You're going to see things that used to trigger you to become angry, to use unkind words, to fight, to argue, to be bitter. You'll catch yourself stopping and saying, I don't think I want to repeat that mistake. That's progress, and we need to celebrate progress. So when you're in small group, share that victory, that progress. You did something differently. You react, something that used to set you off, you stopped yourself this week. That's big. Share it. Accept that you're going to have change in your life. You know, the son that I assaulted, and he assaulted me back, the best compliment he paid to me was a few years ago. He said, Dad, you don't argue with me anymore. You see, every time we had conflict, I had a character defect. And my character defect was, Daniel, win every argument by all means, at all costs. Shame, guilt, put-downs, sarcasm, whatever it takes, win that argument. That's not godly. That's not working. So in recovery, I decided to stop arguing. I can say, son, I love you. Son, I disagree with you. And then remain quiet. That's a different way of doing life. That is a different way of doing life. So you're going to have to accept that there's going to be change in your life. I can't respond the same way that I always did before. I can't do that. I have to accept that God's going to change something in my behavior, and I have to go with it. There's a Bible verse in 1 Peter. Let's read this one together. So then, have your minds ready for action. Keep alert and set your hope completely on the blessing which will be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Be obedient to God and do not allow your lives to be shaped by those desires you had when you were still ignorant. 1 Peter 1:13. 14. So all of us are operating on desires, on emotions, on feelings. And we have to know what God's will and plan is for our life to align our feelings and emotions to line up with what we know is true and right. If we don't, we're going to be in for a drama cycle. And I don't like drama. So I do have a choice on what I'm going to allow my mind to dwell on. So if I don't like the voices I hear in my head, I can replace that with the truth of Scripture that I just read. I can have favorite Scripture verses that I've memorized or put on little cards and use those to affirm what's true in my life and choose a different response. So I can choose a different response, and I have to be ready to change when those triggers come up so that I don't follow the old triggers. Okay, the next fill in the blank is D. Do replace your character defects. Do replace your character defects. So in recovery, we're doing things like examining our character defects, examining our faults. So you might have come in here tonight and not known that sarcasm can be sinful because comedians use it all the time. It's popular in our culture to be sarcastic. But when you're the brunt of a sarcastic remark, how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel uplifted, or does that make you feel defeated, worthless, maybe unworthy of love? So examine your life, see what the Scripture says about good behavior, and find out if what you're doing is harming other people, is offending other people, and then find God's antidote to that behavior. You know, if you're having a hard time figuring out what your defects in life are, go to your most trusted, loving friends on the earth and ask them, what do I do that is wrong or bugs you? What do I do that's offensive? What do I do that's annoying? What do I do that could be improved on? And if they're a true friend, they'll let you have it. They'll just let you have it. And be open to that. It's just called reproof, and it's biblical, and it should be from someone that you love, know, and trust for them to give you that kind of feedback. And then you'll know what your defects are. And, you know, in recovery, you can work on your biggest defect first and focus on that. You know, your life might have 12 defects in it, but just focused on the one that's the highest value defect, and get some sobriety in that one area, and then move on to the next defect. Don't try to do all 12 at once. It's just too big. It's just too big. There's a Bible verse here in Matthew 12:43. Let's read that one. When an evil spirit goes out of a person, it travels over dry country looking for a place to rest. If it can't find one, it says to itself, I will go back to my house. So it goes back and finds the house empty. Then it goes out and brings along seven other spirits even worse than itself. And they come and live there. Matthew 12:43-45. So folks, we are spiritual beings that are going to live forever. And we're having a temporary physical existence right now. Okay, so our attitudes and our behaviors and our responses, you know, all come back to a kind of a spiritual dimension of what is it that we're aiming our lives at? What brings us joy in life? What are we striving for? Here in recovery, we're striving to be godly men and women that are following God and doing what He wants us to do, you know, which is to give hope to others and give love to others and not harm others, really, and to be healing. You know, the spirit of the world is pretty obvious. It tries to say that our significance comes through fame, fortune, power, how popular you are, how sensual you are, how many accomplishments you've had in your life, the attention that other people give to you, and all without having boundaries or absolute limitations. And that's not God's plan for us. God's plan for us to serve is to serve one another like He did when He was here. So the last fill in the blank is why? Yield to the growth. Yield to the growth. You know, when we're driving a car, there's a concept of yielding right of way. And if you follow that concept of yielding right of way, like the first person to the intersection at a four-way stop is the first person to go, you won't crash. You won't have drama. So we understand what yield means when driving a car. Just down the road here on Borland, there's a roundabout, and the car that's in the roundabout has right of way. So when I approach that roundabout, I have to look for an opening, and when there's an opening, then I can go. But I just can't blindly push my way in there. So we know a little bit about yield, the theory of yield, just by driving cars. And the whole idea here is that God has given us some yield signs in His Word, in His Scripture. And if we yield to His right thinking, that's going to replace my faulty thinking. And the more I can get my faulty thinking replaced with right thinking, the more I'm going to yield to God's will, God's will in my life. There's a Bible verse in 1 John. Let's read that one together. The person who has been born into God's family does not make a practice of sinning because now God's life is in him. So he can't keep sinning, for this new life has been born into him and controls him. He has been born again. 1 John 3:9. Born again, that is great. So really, one of the things this verse is telling us is as a Christian, we're part of a spiritual family. We have the head of the family, the father, and then we have everybody in this room, brothers and sisters, and we're supposed to love one another like a functional family. That would be great. So, you know, as recovery happens, I start to catch myself. So I find myself wanting to be really sarcastic. And then I know if I'm really sarcastic, I might get a temporary laugh. And the reason I'm trying to get a laugh is I think people will accept me and love me if I can make them laugh. But really, my issue is, do I feel loved? You know, so if I have sarcasm in my life, it's probably because I'm not feeling loved and loved by God and loved by others properly. So once you get into recovery, you find out that some of these behaviors that we have, these coping mechanisms that are hurtful to others, are caused because we're not connected to God's love and God's plan for our life. So I want to be yielded to what God's plan is for my life. And I think if I yield to what God wants in my life, he's going to give me life. He's going to give me something godly, something comforting, something uplifting, something true. You know, God's answer to my prayers might take longer than I expected. You know, I was kicked out of my house and got invited back in 2006, so that was 16 years ago. You know, if you ask me, is my marriage relationship just as strong as it was before I got kicked out? You know, the answer is no. You know, there were consequences to my bad behavior. I'm still paying for my bad behavior, but I don't give up hope. I don't give up hope. So if you follow recovery, there's not a magic guarantee that your life is going to be drama-free, but you're going to be right with God, and you're going to be right with your Christian family as you yield to God and what he has for you. So we've gone through this whole thing of ready. Release control, because your stinking thinking is not going to get you to be godly. Easy does it. Recovery is progress, not perfection. Be easier on yourself. Accept the change. Know that change is going to happen. Embrace it and mark it. Get a coin for your change as you get to the milestones of a day, a month, a year. And then look at replacing your character defects with something godly. Out with the old, in with the new. And yield to the growth. Yield to God and God's way. And I'm just so thankful to be here because I just look out over everyone here and I'm feeling hopeful, knowing that God's at work in me and God's at work in you, and that's his plan for our family. Thank you.